The report backs. I mean, that should stir you to pray, to praise God, to thank God, and to pray for these things and things that I needed to hear tonight. Praise the Lord. Very encouraging. Now, I'm thinking tonight about a friend of mine who I met at Baptist Bible College. He was a farmer's kid, a dairy farmer's kid, quite a tall guy, about 6'2" or 6'3". And he was a very spiritual guy, sang, good singer. He sang in a quartet, went out as a gospel team. And he got to meet at school a girl that came out of the church my wife was in. My wife went to Cedarville in Ohio. This girl went to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit. Her name was Virginia, and Jenner, they called her. And she was a cheerleader up there, blonde and blue-eyed. And my friend, Ken Rudolph, met her, and he was gone for her. That was it, you know, when he met Virginia Rudolph, Jenner Rudolph. And he said to her, "You're going to marry me." And she said, "No way, Jose, I'm not doing it." You know? But as time went on, you know, things changed, and she began to love him, and they got married. Ken, for a while, was a deacon in the church with me. We were both deacons together, Ken Rudolph and Randy Bloom, and he obviously was called to preach, very gifted preacher, great guy. And Ken has been preaching in Europe at camps. He's a very gifted speaker, travels and speaks, youth speaker, excellent youth speaker. He was a pastor a while. He had me preach up in his church. But Ken Rudolph, he gave an illustration that I've never forgotten one time on prayer. And he shared this illustration, and I've shared it with the church, on prayer and how we can get God to answer prayers over a long term. And he said, Ken Rudolph said, that when you want a prayer answered, you're praying for somebody to get saved or you're praying for God to do something great, he said, picture it as a container. And every time you pray, it's like perfume being poured into that container. And you keep praying and you pour a little more perfume, but it seems like it takes a long time to fill it up, because it's not until it gets full that God pours out that answer to prayer and the blessings that come with it. And so he said, you know, get other people to help you pray. And tell them to pray, and they pray with you, and they pour in that perfume. And the more people that are praying, the more perfume is filling, and the more it gets filled up. And so get more people to pray, and don't quit praying. Keep praying until it gets filled, and God then pours out the blessing on you. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. When you fill containers, God pours out the blessing. Will you help us fill containers tonight so that God will pour out the blessings? We've got certain things we're praying for. We've got certain things we're focused on. And if God's going to do it, it's going to be through your prayers. Paul said, you're helping us with your prayers. How do you help us? You help pour in your perfume, the perfume of your prayer. You see, it's like incense before God. Prayers that are offered through Jesus Christ have a sweet-smelling savor before God. And it fills that container. And when that container gets filled, God's pouring out the blessing. Now, you say, well, that's a nice illustration, Pastor. But does it have any bearing in the Word of God? And you know what? We're studying the book of Revelation. And we're studying in Sunday school about the Revelation. And I want to show you how this has basis in the Word of God. How your prayers are not in vain. How your prayers are, listen, being stored up in heaven. And God is waiting to bless you. God is waiting to give you answers to prayer. But he doesn't want you to quit until the container, the vessel, is filled for God to answer your prayers. He wants to encourage you to help others. And that's why when you're hearing things and you're hearing God do things, add your prayers. Beloved, add your prayers. I know we pray for our bunion and our big toe and our this and our that, but these are important prayers. And so I want to go to Revelation tonight and go to chapter 5. And I want you to see exactly what the Bible says about this very thing. And John went to heaven in chapters 4 through 6 of Revelation to receive revelation about the future that the Lord was going to do on this earth. And in Revelation 5:8, here he is in heaven and in the Spirit. And look at what it says there in Revelation 5:8. You follow, I'll read it. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps." There it is, Matt. They fell down before the Lord. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Did you see that? Did you see that? In heaven, they have these vials, which are these containers. And they have harps, yes. And they have these vials. These are high-ranking angelic beings, a special class of cherubims, I believe, that guard the throne of God, the best I can understand it. And the four elders, I believe, are high-ranking angels. And some people believe they're representative from the redeemed of the Lord. But at any rate, they're in heaven, and they have these golden vials full of odors. And I want you to see that these vials, these containers full of odors, remember I said perfume, are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers are like perfume in God's nostrils. You know, at the altar of incense was a different altar than the altar for sin, which was outside the Holy of Holies in the holy place. And the altar of incense was burned in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, and it represented praying, interceding. And God loves the smell of that. And when your prayers are offered in Jesus' name, it is a sweet-smelling savor to God. You say, "I don't see anything happening. I don't see any blessing. I don't see any answer to prayer. I've prayed for months. I've prayed for years. I've prayed for decades. I don't see anything happen." Let me tell you, those prayers are not in vain. They are being stored up in heaven as incense. That's what it says here in Revelation 5:8. These are the prayers of the saints that are being stored up in heaven. But it goes on from there. And I'd like you to go to another scripture. Go to chapter 8, verse 3. Go to chapter 8 and verse number 3. Look what it says in heaven. He says, now by the way, in Revelation chapter 8, and I like to do this, Revelation chapter 8, you knew what I was going to do. One of the men tell me what is about to happen in Revelation chapter 8. All right, Jose is ready.
The seventh seal is about to be opened.
Yes, he got it right. The seventh seal is about to be opened. You must have had a good class on that. The seventh seal is about to be opened, and that seal contains, and this is getting in Sunday school, a scroll that's going to be undone so they can read it. It's a scroll that you have to break the seven seals first. And now the last seal in chapter 8 is about to be opened. And this scroll is about to be performed on the earth. What's in that scroll? And one of the men tell me, what is in that scroll? I'm going to go back to Luke. I like to do this. Here you go, Luke.
The wrath of God.
All right, the wrath of God contained in the trumpet judgments is about to be unleashed on this earth. All right. One of the ladies said she got it. The wrath of God is about to be released on this earth. And so I want to take all of that. Amen. I want to take all of that I shared, and I want to go and say, if this is true, that God uses prayers of the saints to bring this present world to an end. Think of the power of Satan. Think of the power of devils. And if God uses, get this, if God uses the prayers of the saints to fill these vials, these containers, with the perfume of the prayers of the saints. And if these high-ranking angelic beings around the throne of God that have a priestly role, like the Levites who surrounded the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and they are there, and they have in these containers, these golden containers, not cheap containers, they're pure gold, the prayers of the saints. How precious are your prayers? How powerful are your prayers? How are you to expect that those prayers are not being wasted because you're not seeing anything done on earth? Listen to me, they are being collected and stored up. And so I take from that that he must use your prayers to fill various containers that God has ordained that must be filled by your prayers before he will answer and give you certain things. And you say, well, where do you get that from? I get that from persevering prayer in Luke 11 and Luke 18, tying that together with this, that we have to pray until we fill containers. And God then pours out the blessing, not just for this, but for other things as well. And what does that tell you? That tells you that you want to keep praying. Amen. Keep praying, because every time you pray, it's moving the dial. Every time you pray, something is happening. And he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Like my wife said, wouldn't it be great if there really was a God? Wouldn't it be great if he really did answer prayer and keep his promises? And, sometimes we don't treat him like he is that way. He must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And that means persistently and aggressively in prayer. God has told us very clearly he values the prayer as precious ointment, like Mary poured out on Jesus, precious ointment, and kept in golden containers in heaven until the blessing is poured out. And so with that in mind, I want to encourage you, when you fill containers of prayer, God pours out the blessings in your life and in others. And you need to get others to help you do that. So when you fill containers, God pours out blessings. I'd like to say three things real quickly. Number one, the greater the blessings, the bigger the container to be fulfilled. Now, I can think of the greatest blessing for the whole world. And the greatest blessing for the whole world just happens to be what the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is focused on. What is the biggest thing, if you take Genesis to Revelation, that the Bible is focused on? I'll go to Brother Bob, the theme of the Bible.
The mediatorial kingdom on earth.
All right. Amen and amen. We like that, Bobby? That's another Bobby coming through for you, Bobby. The mediatorial kingdom. And you see it in Genesis. And I want you to go back to Genesis, and one of the greatest victories, and this is under this point, the greater the blessings, the bigger the container to be filled. I want to share this under this point, and that is this. If you go back to Genesis, the greatest victory that Satan got, you know, Satan, he took the fallen angels with him, one third of the angels, and got them to leave God's household. They were all sons of God without belly buttons. They didn't have mothers. They were made directly by God. And Satan got them to rebel against their father God. He did. And that was a great victory for Satan. He got them to believe the lie that we can be as gods, that we've been evolved like God and we can be as good as him. And they believed it, and to their destruction. But now he went to earth. He saw God made man. He saw God made woman. He saw God made the earth. And he was very jealous to see that. And he saw man was given the rule over the earth, that Adam was the king of the earth. And he was over the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. And he was over the earth, and everything was perfect. There was no rebellion and sin. And he thought, I got to get in there and mess this up. And he went down, and God didn't make Adam like a robot. He made him with free will. And Eve likewise. But God said, if Adam sins, the kingdom of God will be taken from him. And sure enough, Satan was so tricky. He didn't go directly at Adam. He went to the woman. And he figured, I can get her and then get to him through her. And by the way, Satan often uses women to get at men. And women can be man's biggest blessing or his biggest downfall. Women have a power, and their greatest power is in relationship to their greatest calling, which is to help a man. You say, I don't like that. That's Bible. Sorry, you don't like it. That's tough. And so Satan went after that woman to get her to bring the man down. And he got her into sin, the Bible says, by deceiving her. She didn't deceive Adam. He didn't want to lose Eve. He knew if he went against her, he would lose her. And he didn't want to lose her. And so he went with her and sinned. And Satan got a great victory. Now, right after that victory, who had the power over the world to come? Who had the power over all the sons of Adam? Bobby, you want to try that? Who had the power, Bobby?
God.
Well, ultimately, but let's ask the other Bobby.
The devil.
Devil. All right. So he's right that he had the ultimate power, but now the devil has the power over the world, and he became the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. And God had to answer that situation because Adam lost the kingdom. And God had to answer it. And what's God going to do? Now the devil has come up against God, not only in the angelic realm, but now he's come up against God in the human realm, and he's going to duke it out with God, and a big battle starts. Now, you'd think that'd be over in a minute. No, it's been going on for 6,000 years. You say, why is it taking so long? God's trying to teach us a lesson about rebellion and sin and disobedience and how costly it is. And so God, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says this. Look at this. He said, God said to the serpent, by the way, Satan came into the serpent, so he was really speaking to Satan. But God said to the serpent, he said, and I will put enmity between thee. Who is the thee? Satan. And the woman. Who's the woman? Well, it is going to be, according to Revelation 12, ultimately Israel that will give birth to the Messiah. I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed. Now, who is the seed of Satan? Can one of the men tell me who is the seed of Satan? Who is the seed of Satan? Between thy seed and her seed. And I want the big enchilada on that.
The Antichrist.
All right. Actually, I believe it's the beast. And that gets into John Benson's book on the Antichrist, which you should read sometime. But anyway, everybody calls the beast the Antichrist. There is two beasts. The main beast is the one the Jewish Antichrist and false prophet tells to worship. They say, worship him. And he says, worship him and put his image. And Satan is an unholy spirit, and he is getting people to worship his man. And this man is the beast, and the Jewish Antichrist and false prophet does miracles before him to get people to worship him. But God says right here, he says this, he says, and I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, Israel, and between thy seed, that's the beast, who is the world ruler I just mentioned in Revelation 13. And it says, and her seed, that's the true king of the world, the Lord, it shall bruise thy head. So what does this say? That the Lord Jesus is the seed of the woman and will bruise the head of Satan's seed. Actually, of Satan, bruise Satan, thy head. And thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel. And so let's see this played out now. Do you think that after Adam and Eve lost the kingdom, do you think they may have prayed for God to restore it? I believe so. Do you think people, you know, Eve was looking when she got her first son, his name was Cain, I'm sorry. And she said, I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. Do you know what I think she believed right there? She believed that she was the woman that was going to give birth to the Messiah. And instead, she gave birth to a murderer. Her first son became a murderer. And he murdered his brother, Abel, who loved the Lord. And so she was disappointed. Very disappointed. And she thought, when is this promise going to be fulfilled? A number of years passed, and a man named Lamech gave birth to a son called Noah. And Noah means rest. You know what rest is about? Now somebody is going to take away the curse. God promised it back there in Genesis 3:15, hundreds of years ago. Now finally somebody's going to, my son Noah, I believe, is going to be that Messiah. Well, Noah became a great believer. He did have a great part in saving the DNA of man from Satan, who was trying to corrupt the DNA so the Messiah couldn't come. But he was not the ultimate Messiah. Now, was he? Remember, Noah got drunk after the flood. He wasn't the Messiah. The Messiah can't sin. He's perfect. And so they prayed, and this father prayed, and all through the years they prayed. For 4,000 years they prayed for the seed of the woman to show up. And after 4,000 years, finally, the nation Israel, through Mary, gives birth to the seed of the woman who is going to crush the serpent's power. But listen, it took 4,000 years. Now, wait a minute. How many years has it been since his first coming when he said, it's finished, and he took the judgment of God and he purchased the world back to himself? It's still been another 2,000 years. So 4,000 plus 2,000. Do you think people have been praying for his kingdom to come? Jesus said, do you pray? How many of you had ever prayed for his kingdom to come? I think that's a biblical prayer. Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It's talking about the mediatorial kingdom. And when will it come? At Christ's second coming. Just as sure as you're here tonight hearing me preach, Jesus will come back. And I'm going to read you the scripture. When he comes back, here's what it is. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. Here's what it says. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So the false Christ, the Antichrist, and the beast that the Antichrist said, you worship him as God, they're both going to be cast into the lake of fire, and God's going to get the victory. He's going to crush the headship of Satan and crushing his man. And who's going to reign instead? God's man. Who's God's man? Jesus Christ the Lord. Nobody else can do it. Jesus will not fail. That's why I'm so glad I'm on the winning team. That's why I'm so glad I've got the Savior. And I am glad that all of those prayers that you are praying for victory in this world, it will happen in this world, in time, not in eternity. These are literal 24-hour days, 30-day months, and years that will pass, 1,000 years of peace on earth, goodwill toward man. It will be there. And if you're saved now, you'll reign with Christ over people who will be in mortal bodies, will have children, will have families, and it'll be the greatest time of revival in the history of the world. Thank God that's going to be answered. Is your prayer in vain for that? No. Thousands of years, and God will fulfill it. Now, that is something I want to say tonight. When you fill containers, God pours out blessings. The greater the blessings, the bigger the container to be filled. And that is the greatest blessing, when we have peace back on earth and goodwill toward men. Secondly, though, when you fill containers, God pours out blessings. So fill the container of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 through 24. If you'll go there, 2 Chronicles 20 through 24, I have talked about this before. You say, Pastor, what have you been praying for? What have you led the church to pray for? I don't know who first shared with me this chapter. I'm not sure. But I have looked at it as an encouragement and asked God in prayer that these chapters put in by the King James translators, this chapter and these verses, would serve as a timeline for what we've been praying for in our country. And some of you have been praying for this, and I want to encourage you to keep praying for it because it is not dead. It seems to have been dead, but remember, Christ died and he was buried, and he seemed to be not the Messiah to the Jews, to the disciples, but he rose from the dead and he became the Messiah. And likewise, I am praying for this chapter to be fulfilled. Now, this chapter gives a battle between Judah under King Jehoshaphat and the Ammonites and the Moabites. And the Ammonites and the Moabites joined forces with what's called the Edomites. And they were taking over Judah. They outnumbered them, and there was no chance, humanly speaking, that Jehoshaphat was going to defeat these people. But then I want you to notice 20:20 of 2 Chronicles 20:20, and I'll read it. It says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat," this is speaking of the army of Judah, "Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" Now, I say I have prayed this as a timeline. Can one of the men tell me what we prayed for in 2020, and it looked disappointing and it looked discouraging, but we encouraged ourselves, Sarge, in the promises of God. Yes, the presidential election. And Donald J. Trump was elected president, and it shocked Hillary Clinton because she thought for sure she'd stolen the election, just like she stole it from Bernie. What's the guy's name? Bernie what? Bernie Sanders. That's what I thought, but I want to be sure. Bernie Sanders. That election was stolen from Bernie Sanders. They rigged it, the Demon Rat Party. And she won it because she was the heir apparent. She was the witch apparent. She was the Jezebel apparent that was to reign on the throne and do her wickedness and continue her sacrifices to Moloch and her abortions and all the rest of the wickedness that Bill and Hillary stand for, which is wickedness and vileness. And remember when Jezebel was a queen after Ahab was killed. She was the queen mother because she had a king on the throne that was like a son to her. I believe it was her son. His name was, did anybody know his name over the northern kingdom? His name was Joram. And he is a perfect fit for Barack Hussein Obama. So now you have the Clintons and Obama and the wickedness that has gone on there. And during the 2020 election, when Donald Trump won, it surprised the shadow government. It surprised the deep state. It surprised the globalist elites. It surprised the devil, I believe. And so that went on. And you know what? When that happened in that 2020 election, Barack Obama said, "That's all right." He got together with his elites, no doubt, conspiracy. You say, who do these elite guys get together with? Satan. Look at what's going on. And he got together, and he said, and they said, Barack Obama carried out the orders, and he fired all the main people in the administration. He fired a bunch of them that were pretty good people, and he put in a bunch of crooks and people that were going to destroy Trump and destroy his administration. And so when Trump came in, he thought, you know, Obama's a nice guy and he's turning it over, and just like presidents have done, you know, he's turning it over to the next man. He's elected by the people. No, he never turned it over. He formed a shadow government right near the White House. He had all his people still in power. The globalists were still, granted, Trump could do a whole lot more, but the globalists were doing a lot, and they had power. And that's why they started the first impeachment. And then they started the second impeachment. And they did all these things, and they launched all these things against Donald Trump to try to stop. And still God blessed. Still God blessed in those 4 years. And things began to be done. Wonderful things began to be done. But my friends, it came to the 2020 election. They put up a doddering old man that barely could stand on his feet, who never left his basement, except rarely. And they said he got the most votes in history. 81 million votes. I've got some swampland in Florida to sell you if you believe that. They stole the election. Through many different ways, they stole the election. And they not only stole the presidency, they stole the House and they stole the Senate. So they could control everything going on. And so when Jehoshaphat said, "Believe God," boy, that was a mouthful. Because when they took Donald Trump out in that election, that took a mouthful. Now, Donald Trump called for people to come together to the Capitol and to protest the Senate and the House certifying that election without an investigation. He said it called for an investigation. He didn't believe. He believed like I do. Donald Trump believes like I do. It was stolen. And so he called for an investigation of that election. And people came from all over America, praying for America, holding up flags and make America great. And they were there singing hymns and songs of patriotism. Good people, they all came together. The globalist went to Nancy Pelosi. All this stuff, there's evidence on everything I'm saying. You can look it up, research it for yourself. They used Nancy Pelosi. She got her son. She got a guy named Ray Epps and another man. And numerous FBI and federal agents had on Trump's hats and pretended like they were Trump supporters. And they got there. And they had videotape proof. Tucker Carlson was ready to release it, but Rupert Murdoch stopped him in Fox News because he doesn't want Trump in there. Rupert Murdoch for Fox News. Tucker wanted to release it, but he stopped him. He started to release some of this evidence, and he stopped him. He was going to release some of what I'm going to tell you right now, but I'm going to just tell you. And so I told my Sunday school class. So Nancy Pelosi, she is the head of the Capitol Police. They said 5 Capitol Police officers were killed that day. They have videotape evidence that proves they're liars. They're liars. They weren't killed that day. These people manipulate and control the media. And they're telling the American people lies, and American people are sucking it up, you know, just like the Jewish people sucked up what the Pharisees and Sadducees said and said, "Crucify him, ask for Barabbas," and they did it. They manipulate him. And so Nancy Pelosi, she planned to have Ray Epps and others and the Capitol Police listen to her and get people to charge the Capitol that were Trump supporters. The Trump supporters that went in and followed like sheeple into the Capitol didn't know Nancy Pelosi had that all planned. They were just there to protest. But she had it all planned that they would go in and then that she would turn it against the Trump supporters and call it an insurrection, which is a total lie, And the shaman, they have tape on him proving that he was ushered by Capitol Police and shown all the rooms, and yet that man is serving multiple years in prison like he's a felon. And there are many political prisoners now that are in prison in Washington that have never seen the light of day and haven't even had a trial yet. Why? Because the globalists, the deep state, Nancy Pelosi, had this all controlled in order to, listen, to use the house that they had stolen, and they got some quote-unquote rhino Republicans like Liz Cheney and others, Mitt Romney, you know, those kind of people, and got them to join with the Democrat committee and have a show trial like Hitler used to do to prove that these Trump people and Donald Trump are a bunch of insurrectionists. And it was a bold-faced lie. And it's all built on lies, and it's documented. And Tucker Carlson has all the evidence. But there's more evidence that's going to come out. Just believe what I'm saying tonight. Now, this sounds to me like Satan. And this sounds to me like what Charlie Ware used to say. Bloom, Satan's gone too far this time. He's come right out in the open. By the way, we need to pray because they are scared. The globalists are scared. They're scared this is all going to come out, and the American people are going to go against them. And they're afraid of Donald Trump coming back in. They want him in jail. They want him done. That's why they're doing everything they can to get rid of the guy, barring killing him. I don't believe they're going to be able to do it, but you pray. This is what's going on, and I'm just saying to you, we've been praying about this, and I've said since 2020, put your faith in God. Believe God. Believe the Word of God. Believe what He says. And I have prayed that this be a timeline, and I want to encourage you tonight that something's getting ready to break big time, but we need to be praying for this thing to break through. And I could say a whole lot more about it, but I'm not going to do any more tonight. But stay tuned to Tucker Carlson. Stay tuned to Alex Jones, Infowars.com, who has been proven to be right on many, many things. Not perfect. But proven to be right on many things. Now, I'm just saying that the greater the blessings, the bigger the container to be filled, and we're filling that container for the kingdom of God. Amen? And we need to fill a container for 2 Chronicles 20 through 24. Now, wait a minute. We just looked at 2020, and then let's go on with that. Let's look at 2021. He says in verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." What happened when 2020 passed and they stole the election? Many godly people in this church kept praising God anyhow, kept praying to God anyhow, kept trusting God anyhow. And praise the Lord for that. And that's what they did in Jehoshaphat's day. And then it says in 2022, look at this, 2022. "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." God began to set ambushment, traps, and they got into those traps that were going to lead to their downfall. Now, what do you think might have happened in 2022? Because they tried to steal everything in 2022 again. And they did to a degree. But what happened that might be a trap to the deep state, to the shadow government? One of the men, give me something that might have been a trap, an ambushment that was set in order to get these people and bring them to justice. It would be a miracle to see it happen. But what was a trap? Anybody know? Sarge, what do you think? That's true. The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. Thank God for that. But what about the trap that would trip these people up?
Was it the start of the investigations for the election?
They didn't get the house. And with the house comes the opportunity to do what you just said, and that they are now investigating the sham committee for what they did with this big show trial. Not only that, another trap has happened. The evidence is coming out that I've said all this time that Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates are mass murderers.
Yep.
The former head of the CDC has testified before Congress that Fauci was trying to keep the lab in Wuhan that they were doing gain-of-function research on animals, turning them into bioweapons. He was trying to keep it from the American people. And he even kept it, he said, from himself, the CDC director. He had meetings without him, and he said he was hiding it from the American people. So now the CDC director is turning on Fauci, and these people are ambushments that were set up, and now it's coming out, and the deep state is finding out that it's going to come out. And so what are they doing? They're trying to stop Tucker Carlson. They're trying to stop all this. But listen, this is building and building and building. All this evidence is building, and it is going to come out. And you pray for it to come out. So that was 2022. Now we're in 2023. So let's look at 2023. Second Chronicles, and go to 2023. What does it say? For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So what happened? The rats turned on one another. When there's a sinking ship, the rats turn on one another. And that is what I believe is happening right now. They are turning on one another to save themselves. And this is something we've been praying for. We're now in 2023. I would love to see that come to pass. You say, how's it going to be done? Fill that container of prayer. Help us fill that container of prayer. Join with us. Believe God. Praise God. See the ambushments. See what God has done. You say, oh, it's hopeless. It can't be done. Listen to me. I believe the Bible is true. We will see a new world order. We are now seeing it right on the verge. They're ready to have a cashless system to take over so that you can't have cash, and they're going to track everything. Biden's ready to put it in without Congress through the CDC and other federal agencies. But listen to me. If God blows this all up in their face, it will set the devil's timeline back. You know, the devil's timeline is 2030. That's when they want to have this in place. But you say, doesn't the Bible say he's going to win, that all nations are going to worship? Yes, he is, but that's only for a time. Jesus is going to beat him. I read the last page of that. Why don't you go to the end of it? Don't get stuck in the middle. And listen to me. I know the New World Order is coming, but not on my watch. I say not on my watch. Say not on your watch. Stand up. Pray. Fill that vial. So that's the second point. When you fill containers, God pours out these blessings. The greater the blessings, the bigger the container, the kingdom of God is going to be brought in. Listen to me. By the prayers of God's people. By the faith of God's people. By filling the container of perseverance. The blessing of the kingdom of God will ultimately be... It'll take years, but it'll happen. And I believe if you fill the container of 2 Chronicles 20 through 24, you will see the devil's timeline push back. And the greatest victory since the Revolutionary War and King George of England. I believe Donald Trump will then be reinstated, and he will come. Now, I know DeSantis is running. He's a good man. He's a governor. But he's not the one that won the election that was stolen. It should be restored to Trump. And I believe ultimately it will be. Although DeSantis, it may look like he's ahead for a while. He's not going to win it, I don't believe. And then number three, fill the container of springing up with revival. We've been praying for about 50 years in this church at a men's revival seekers prayer meeting. You can join us. You can pray and ask God for revival. We have a spring campaign that's called Springing Up with Revival. And that is the book of Acts in progress, where the gospel is going to spread. And where, guess what? We fill Thursday night with soul winners and new trainees that will help out. And we fill Scranton with our doctrine of the gospel. And we see people saved and baptized and fill this building, so we have to have two services. God can do it. But God wants us to be of one accord, in one church. Join the local church. Join working under the man of God, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Do your part. Play your part. Whatever it is God wants you to do, pray for this gospel to go out. We've heard testimony tonight. Pray with us. Pray for victories. This is God's teamwork, and we'll fill that container. Think of all the prayers that have gone up for Scranton revival. And what Brother Joe say the other day? It's very close, Brother Joe said. We're on the verge. He said that at Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting Saturday morning. We're on the verge. Join us. Join us for that revival that God's going to do. And I believe we'll see great and mighty things happen. I went overtime. Let's bow for prayer.